Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
By the opposition, the enemy.
As you know, with a new year sometimes comes a few changes. A change for us is that we will be taking a hiatus in several markets at the beginning of the new year. Denver, Atlanta, Portland, Little Rock, Orlando, and Tampa. At the start of 2023, we will not be broadcasting in these radio markets. However, if you are in those cities, you can still listen to What's Right, What's Left online at thewordcleveland.com. That's thewordcleveland.com. Cleveland, as you know, is our home market. We expect that this hiatus will be temporary, but we need to take a hiatus while we catch up on a few bills. We are a donor-supported ministry, so thank you to those of you who have been supporting us from those cities. And we look forward to getting back with you on the radio in those cities as soon as possible.
All right, we are back, and we're hearing from all across the country the old devil is after us again. And I think, you know, the opposition, they're somehow managing to get the jitters in the equipment. As what's-his-name says, the devil's in the details. Well, this time the devil's in the equipment. And so we're having problems nationwide from coast to coast. And it only happens to us. Now, this program can be on all the stations, plays all day long, and it don't happen to anybody but us, just us. And, well, it's because of the content of the program. And with that, we're just going to fire away and bring up the clip.
I am thrilled to have Kay Yang on with us. She is a deprogrammer, which I, too, did not know even exists. She is the creator of StopFemaleErasure.com. She is truly amazing. She exposes the intersections of corporate, government, nonprofit collusion driving the transgender rights movement. She says a smokescreen for massive social engineering and propaganda war being used to facilitate female erasure in language, in law, and on a worldwide scale. Her work connects the dots between normalized practices of child sexualization and proliferation of biopharmaceutical transhumanist technologies. Man, I am going to love this woman. And frames these agendas as foundational to the colonization of the female body and the female reproductive control. Kay, welcome to the program.
Wow, thank you so much, Glenn, for having me here and for this opportunity. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad to have you on. Let me make sure I have your background right. 10 years ago, when none of us were talking about this stuff, you were working at an LGBT center?
That's right, I was. In my early 20s is when I was working at an LGBT center. It was a small local nonprofit, and the funding was coming from the New York State Department of Health. So that's a really important part of this as well, that the state was funding me to do the work that I was doing. We were indoctrinating public school children with gender identity and transgender ideology. So we were actually being armed with rainbow-colored propaganda that was sent to us from these large nonprofits like GLSEN and GLAAD. And then we'd go into the schools, disarm the teachers really with these themes around acceptance, anti-bullying, suicide prevention. And then we would introduce children to the concept of gender identity and transgender. And we would use propaganda tools like the genderbread person, which you may have seen before, but your audience might not all be familiar with. It's a cartoon cookie character, and it teaches children to measure themselves and others by so-called womanness or manness or femaleness or maleness. So we would take tools like this into the schools with us. We would visit local area high schools and set up LGBT clubs and gay straight alliances.
And hang on just a second, Kay. Hang on just a second.
Sure.
You got into the schools and the teachers were disarmed, assuming they had a problem. They were disarmed because you were coming in under the umbrella of the New York State Division of Family and Children Counseling, right? So you were coming in with state approval.
That's right. And we were in there kind of under the idea of sexual health and education, even though we were not experts. I had never been trained in sexual health, but I was considered an expert the moment that I took the job. I was billed as an expert to the teachers. And we were talking to these students without the knowledge, like without their parents' consent. You know, parents didn't know that we were having these after-school clubs. They didn't know that we were talking about sex, talking about sexuality, trans identities, and gender identity with these students. There was no knowledge or consent from parents. And this was all considered okay.
Okay, all right. So
this is 10 years ago.
What brought you from that to somebody who is helping parents deprogram their children? What changed in you? What was the moment that you were like, oh, crap, I'm on the wrong side?
Well, a lot of things. A lot of things. As soon as I saw this concept of a trans child, this was really concerning to me. Because at the time when I was working at the LGBT Center, I had no idea that the work that we were doing was really paving the way for the manufacturing of the so-called trans child, and also for people to accept this idea, right? Or that there would be medicalization or sterilization of healthy children in their bodies.
Right.
None of this was ever part of the work that we were doing. It never crossed my mind that this would be a thing. So yeah, 10 years ago, no one had ever heard of a trans child. But in 2019, the CDC did a survey, and it was claimed that one out of every 50 high school students in America was identifying as trans. So that's a huge increase.
Yes.
And all, yeah, and a lot of the reporting news media has attributed that, the increase to children feeling safe to come out and to them having like better data collection. But it's never attributed to this widespread social engineering that was going on. And as soon as I heard this concept of a trans child, this was extremely alarming to me. Because if you went back in time and told me that what we were doing at the LGBT Center would result in like this near future where 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old children are being paraded in front of international media, openly sexualized and groomed, you know, these drag kids, drag queen story time, I never would have believed this. And really, there's no such thing as a trans child. And this becomes really obvious when you look back only one decade to a time when no one had heard of a trans child. It's corporate fiction. It's propaganda. No child is born in the wrong body. No person, whether an adult or a child, can change their sex. It doesn't really matter. You know, anything you do, you can put on makeup, you can change your clothes, you can, you know, drug yourself up with chemicals and wrong sex hormones, or have these, you know, really invasive, medically unnecessary procedures. But it's never going to change the fact that a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl. So we have to stop lying to children. And when I saw that this this so-called movement, it's not a real movement, but when I saw this turn towards the focus on children and telling children that they could be born in the wrong body and moving them on a path towards, you know, medicalization, this really shocked me and scared me.
So because you're into the transhumanist movement and everything, we'll talk about a little bit later, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. I believe that we are living in a time where a lot of people are useful idiots, and a lot of the people that believe, you know, in you know, the stuff that you were teaching, a lot of them might be really well intentioned and believe that, you know, this is really something, you know, whatever. But there is, you know, I said last hour, I don't know why liberals won't wake up, because liberals were right, conservatives were wrong. The liberals were the ones saying the United States government is just colluding with corporations, and eventually it's going to be one giant corporation. I think the collusion between the government and, you know, in this case, pharmaceutical companies or whatever.
All righty. What he's talking about is absolutely right. First of all, folks, pray for us out there. We're hearing from all over, from coast to coast, they're calling here telling us that we're being knocked off stations out there tonight with the jitters. Are we being completely knocked off or, pardon? Okay, it's with they're jamming us with static, with just pure static, and it's not the normal jitters. It's something different this time. But anyhow, that only happens to us. These stations are on 24 hours a day, and it'll only happen when we're on, okay? Didn't hear that. Say that again. Yeah, I know that, okay? And on top of that, our head engineer, Jimmy DeGreek, right now just had open-heart surgery, so he's not here. He would be here trying to get to the bottom, find out, you know, how they're doing it and to undo it. But so, Ronnie, the old devil didn't want what you had to say to get out tonight, but we still are on a number of stations in the area here. So
yeah, that's all right. We know the devil's a liar, and we're not surprised because that's what the devil does. It goes to and fro throughout there trying to destroy and devour, but Jesus is victorious, and I'm praying that will it will come back. They'll come back online in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well,
can we bring Ronnie back?
Pardon?
We can bring Ronnie back, though.
Yeah, we can. Yeah,
we'll bring Ronnie back.
Yes.
I mean, because that message definitely needs to be heard. I know opening up the things you sent us, Ronnie. I know when we had initially chatted, I was fortunate enough to be the person to talk to you on the phone, but. That I wish the people there could see the visual effects of that stuff. Stuff is outstanding.
It is. It really is.
It is absolutely outstanding. I mean, when you opened it up, you knew what you were looking at. It's not like it's rocket science, and it's a wonderful thing, and it's very professionally done. It really, really is. I wish people could see it.
All right. Yes. And Ronnie, right now you are our official contributor and spokesperson out there in your neck of the woods in the state of Texas. Now, what he was talking about, what Glenn Beck was talking about in that, pedophilia, we are, this is right from the pit of hell. The Democratic Communist Party is filled. I mean, they are flush with pedophiles. This is anybody who's anybody now who's going up to the ranks within the Democratic Party. You are involved with pedophilia. That's just what's happened out there today. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about, we're going to do some rapid lightning rounds now. With this thing here, where they're finding, remember, nothing is ever the way that it appears. It's never the way that it appears, especially with the fake news media out there today. Now, the question is, why have they found all of a sudden these documents, all of these docs with Joe Biden? Now 3 days, now they found him in three different places, and these were top secret, clear, you know, documents here. And what's going on? What's going on? Again, remember, things are never, ever the way that they are presented. And I've got a couple theories. One, within the collective, remember what Joseph Stalin said. He said, to lay your head in the breast of a friend to get his complete and total trust, and then to thrust a dagger in his back, there's nothing sweeter. You can sleep good. Now, so betrayal within the collective. Now, to us, betrayal is repulsive. You know, to us, we get angry when we're betrayed all the time by the rhinos. When the rhinos betray us, we get very, very angry. And, in fact, that's what they did here in Ohio with the Speaker of the Ohio House. We had rhinos, and I'm trying to get a list of those rhinos, their name, if I can get them, because I want everyone to know who they are. What they did was totally against the rules of the House. They caucused with the Democrats. They caucused with the Democrats to put a rhino as Speaker of the House and not a conservative. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, we're so tired of being betrayed. Now, but again, within the collective, the Communist Party. Betrayal is something to be embraced. Do you remember, I don't know how old you are, Ronnie, but do you remember Jimmy Carter and the Shah of Iran?
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy Carter and the Shah of Iran, they were just best buddies, but Carter betrayed him, okay? And when he did that, pardon? Okay, we are back on in New York now, so one station, so we're back up, at least we know on the coast. Okay, so anyhow, praise the good Lord for that. We're back on in New York. Anyhow, and by the way, that station in New York hits all five boroughs, but it hits several other states too. So that is good. That's a big 50,000 water, I think. Anyhow, remember Barack Obama. Remember how he was supposed to be a strong ally of Barack, the president of Egypt, okay?
Right.
And Barack betrayed Barack. Barack ended up going to jail. And, of course, that raised Barack Obama's stock within the collective, because if you can betray someone who's powerful and got a lot of status and you can get by with it, then your status within the collective goes up. Remember, everything they do is exactly the opposite of what the Bible teaches. And the official, unofficial religion of the Democratic Party is the Church of Satan. That is the Church of Satan is their officially unofficial church. They're involved, up to their eyeballs with the Church of Satan. And so if you remember Omar Gaddafi was thick as thieves with Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, okay, and Obama, and they contributed a lot to their campaign, and Hillary and Omar were supposed to be good friends. Well, when they beat him, Hillary betrayed him. She betrayed Gaddafi, and when they beat him to death like a dog in the streets, and he was begging for mercy, she was sitting there and cackling. She was laughing, watching it and laughing. And so by doing that, that wickedness within raised her stock up within the collective, the Communist Party collective. We've seen that over and over and over again. And so now, if they can betray Joe Biden, throw him under the bus, okay, whoever is, if that's Merrick Garland, who it may very well be Merrick Garland, then his stock within the collective will go up. Now, Garland is a dirty cop. I mean, he is a very, very dirty cop. And so, now there's another theory. Already a couple of these Democrats out there, Congress people, are saying that Trump is behind this, that Trump had those documents planted, okay? That Trump had them planted, no. So what would they, and of course, the Democrats are simple-minded people. If he comes out with that lie, and they call that lie a narrative, PMSNBC, ABC, CBS, they're going to be parroting, the echo chamber will go on full alert, and they'll be saying this. Theories are, people believe this and that. Trump, okay? But there's another possibility here in all of this, and that is that Garland knows what's going to happen, that if Trump gets reelected in 2024, or gets back into office, that he's going to jail. Garland's to jail. He knows that, okay?
Yeah.
And so he's going to do everything he possibly, not just him, but you have Christopher Wray and the others. They're going to do whatever they possibly can to get Trump charged and convicted of a federal crime. If they can do that. Now, so what he might be doing is this, and he might be saying, you see how we are fair, we're not biased, now we're going after Joe Biden too. And that is because people are getting very, the more they go after Trump, the more people want to vote for him, okay? I mean, it's very, very obvious what they're doing. They they're knowing. In other words, Trump was the best president this country's had since Ronald Reagan, the very best. Okay, and they know that. And they also know he knows where all the bodies are buried, and the corruption, the deep state. So they're going to do everything they can to try to find a way to get him charged, to set him up to be charged with a crime. Now, the vast, a lot of us out there, we're not nearly as stupid as they think we are. A lot of the Democrats are even more stupid than they think they are, okay, because they'll believe anything. So anyhow, that's my theories. Any commentary on that?
Well, think about this, and I wonder about this, and that's that maybe they've come to the conclusion that they cannot resurrect, so to speak, Joe Biden in the ratings, and that they're low now, they're lower than whatever they're reported, and they're so low that maybe they've come to the conclusion, his own people, that they cannot salvage him, nor is the nation going to carry him. It's too far out. 2024 is too far out, so you got to get rid of him now. And that may well be the strategy. I don't know.
Okay, but whoever can get him from within, their stock within the collective will go up.
Oh, I agree. I mean, the question is, you know, who's behind it, and also what direction are they going to go? Are they really going to go? I mean, we know that it'll be away from, let's call it the conservative cause, but there is a specific plan and pathway, probably just like your scenario with Garland. That's a specific plan, and we don't know who's in back of this, but I'm saying that there may well be people in back of all of this saying that we can't salvage Joe Biden, so we've got to do some things now to get rid of him.
We do know that we cannot trust Garland at all to do anything right, okay? We do know that the fake news media, what they call the mainstream, will tell whatever lie they're presented with. If George Soros and that says, here's your lie, and they'll call it a narrative, and then the echo chamber will go on. They will betray the American people, but they take their orders in lockstep. Just like the Congress, the Democratic Congress, when Nancy Pelosi had them, whipped them into lockstep. That's exactly what they're doing, okay?
But see, getting rid of Biden also gets rid of the other albatross that everybody forgets about. And her name is Kamala. Mm-hmm. You got to get rid of both of them.
Yes. Well, you see, that even has the left worried.
Yeah, exactly.
Even the left is worried about it. They've got no idea what that loose cannon would do if it ever got into the White House, right?
Yeah.
And so they're even worried about her, okay? So that seems to be where we're at. You got an article there?
Yeah, I do.
Take it away.
Yeah, and this is kind of a collage of things and touching on some of the things you just talked about. It's called A Country We No Longer Recognize, A Coup We Never Knew. Now, the question is, did someone or something seize control of the United States? And with that, we're saying, what happened to the U.S. border? Where did it go? Did President Joe Biden issue an executive order allowing foreign nationals to walk across the border and reside in the United States as they please? Who insisted that more federal dollars be printed and that the more prosperity would follow? When did clean, burning, cheap, and abundant natural gas become the equivalent to dirty coal? How did prized natural gas that had granted Americans wishes of energy self-sufficiency, reduced pollution, inexpensive electricity become almost overnight a pariah? What was it not against federal law to swarm the homes of the Supreme Court justices, to picket and to intimidate their households in an effort to affect their rulings? And on whose order did the FBI contact private news organizations to censor stories it didn't like and writers whom it feared? How did we wake up one morning to new customs of impeaching a president over a phone call? When did we assume that the FBI had the right to subvert the campaigns of a candidate it didn't like? Was some state or federal law passed that allowed biological males to compete in the feminine sports? Did the Supreme Court guarantee that biological males could shower in a gym with biological women? When did the government pass a law depriving Americans of their freedom during a pandemic? Since when did the people decide that 70% of voters would not cast their ballots on Election Day? What happened to the election night returns? What happened to the once trusted FBI? Who proclaimed that our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff could call his Chinese communist counterpart to warn him that the American president was supposedly unstable? Whose idea was it to reboot racial segregation and bias as theme houses, safe spaces, diversity? How did a virus cancel the Constitution? Did the letdown rob us of our sanity, the lockdown rob us of our sanity? Or was the woke hysteria that ignited our collective madness? And on the back here, it basically says this. It's, we are beginning to wake up now from a nightmare to a country we no longer recognize and from a coup we never knew.
All right, so we are beginning to wake up. Now, we've been talking about this. One of the things, he started off with a question, did Joe Biden give the orders to keep the border open? Absolutely. You have the three cartels. You have the drug cartel, you've got the human smuggling cartel, and the Biden crime family cartel. Now, Biden was the gatekeeper. His job was to make sure that the Chinese, the Communist Party Chinese, that paid that Biden crime family millions and millions and millions of dollars. Some say as high as $1 billion went to the Biden crime family. Their orders to Joey, who they owned. In fact, they actually said they owned him. I heard them actually said how they own him. These were the top generals there. And so what happened is Biden's job was to keep the border open so that the drug cartels could bring in the fentanyl and to make sure that the pedophiles had a good supply of children, okay? That's exactly what he's doing. Now, I've heard some of those in the media on other stations, Tucker Carlson now is figuring things out. And he hasn't said it in those exact words, but he's getting there. Okay, and little by little, and I've heard some of these congressmen like Jim Jordan and that, they know what's happening. And eventually, what I just said, you're going to hear from them. Eventually, they're going to come out. And they're going to admit what's happening, okay, out there. And so, folks, this happens to us all the time. You know, we tell people 2 or 3 weeks later. Now, in this case, it'll be months later. What's actually going on, what's actually happening, will come out.
Well, the one thing too, I think that's going on in the media is not really telling us the truth about is. What's that guy's name? El Chapo, the drug lord.
There's
literally a war going on in Mexico right now because of his son. They've got 3,200 troops assigned to that. 29 people have been killed about him. And did you see where the judge on his extradition, the Mexican judge came and stopped the extradition? And now they're fighting every day about releasing him. And I think the fentanyl business it rests heavy in that whole sort of thing.
Well, you're right, but there's something else too there with that. You'll probably see, as you just saw Biden meet with the president of Mexico, out there for public consumption, out in the public, the United States giving Mexico aid, more money.
Absolutely.
But undercover, I am convinced that the Biden regime will actually be pouring that to the drug cartels, okay? Supporting them undercover.
I agree with that. I agree. That's why I think that judge came back and said, can't extradite him. And those are deals that are being made in the dark.
Yep. Do you remember Fast and Furious?
Yes. There, yes.
How they were getting arms to the drug dealers.
Yes. Okay.
And so that's what's happening. Basically, he's disarmed, you know, our Border Patrol.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen? What would happen if Trump was in office right now? None of this would be happening. But if it was happening, do you know what he would do? He would send special forces down there, these drug cartels that are bad. If he were to send special forces in there, they would clean them up in a day. They would be gone, okay?
I agree.
But that ain't going to happen under Biden because the Biden crime family is working hand in hand with the drug cartels and the human smugglers. And people need to know that. Now, there are... besides me, just a couple other outlets that are saying this, but you're not hearing much from them. And so,
I mean, isn't it amazing, though, that it got quiet after Biden visited the border? Did you notice how that whole thing died down?
The whole thing was sanitized. Yes, you made sure they cleaned up. They cleaned up everything, and they made sure Biden did not see one single illegal alien.
That's right.
Alrighty. Okay, we're going to go to a break, and we'll be back right after this. Now,
feel so fine, this new age church of mine. The service is laid back. But still I know you reap what's sowed, and I can't stop thinking about all of that. Well, I remember when God was praised, but that's not what the new age church is for. Truth is fine, but it's long gone. The gospel's truth, but it ain't wanted anymore. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. And he has risen on high. And if you're lost, then you had better know why. Believe him only still. Did you ever read about a child who seemed to be a king? And he became one. Well, he's coming back to judge the world, and he and the Father are still the very same one. But I've had a fearfulness deep inside, and I've cried because I'm so afraid to know. And I'm not a man of the kind to be scared. Till I go to heaven, or as I fear, below. I am, he said. You had better care. Isn't a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. He is risen on high. If you're lost, then you had better know why. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died.
All right, it appears that we're going back up on the other stations. We're up on there where you're at, Ronnie, in Massachusetts. We're up in Portland, and it seems like we're going up on all the other stations one by one around the country. All right, so we will open the phone lines to take some rapid phone calls. We got to keep the calls short because the entire board is lit. Okay, we want to start with Jeff in Massachusetts. Jeff, you're in the air.
Okay, thank you very much. I have an announcement to make to you and your audience. There'll be a SatanCon on April 28th through the 30th. Every born-again Christian ought to be there to protest, pray, and preach against this evil convention. It's going to be the world's largest convention. And also, too, it's the sources of the Gateway Pundit, Russia Today, and so forth. So spread the word. Anybody that's got hello? Hello?
Yeah, you're still there. Go ahead.
Yeah. Anybody that God is calling to come into Boston, to pray, preach, evangelize against this evil convention. Look it up. April the 28th through the 30th in Boston, Massachusetts, the world's largest satanic gathering. And Pastor, if you know about it, please comment when I get off the line. God bless you and do have a good one. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Yeah, we did. We announced that earlier this week, okay, in the very first of the week. We announced that, and what we will do is we'll continue to try to encourage people to show up and preach to the Satanists. Yes, that's what they'll do. They'll preach to the Satanists. Let's go to AC in Cleveland. AC, you're in the air.
Hello, Pastor.
Hello.
Yes. Two quick points here. You had a guest on Monday night, a guy named Ken, okay? And mm-hmm. he's a, I guess, like a spokesperson for the Brunson Brothers, okay?
Right, and Ken Cromer.
He said he was talking with Darren Brunson about Moses and the Red Sea, and as Ken said, that according to the rabbinic tradition, the waters did not just part. It required an act of determined faith, and was only after some of the people walked into the water up to their chest that the waters began to part, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so Darren made a comment, maybe we're still back in Egypt. Well, the point I want to make here, Ken's statement on Monday night openly contradicts Exodus 14, verse 16, and also verse 21 and 22. And in verse 21, it explicitly says here, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And then the next verse says, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, not up to their chest. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left.
Well, what Ken was referring to was with Jewish folklore, what he was talking about. There's
well,
a lot of...
he said rabbinic tradition.
Okay, well...
The point I want to make here is, I don't know if this guy, I guess he claims to be saved, but no born-again Christian should be quoting and using rabbinic tradition. Because I have Jewish neighbors, and one of them told me that rabbinic tradition teaches them that the tomb of Jesus was unguarded and that his disciples came by night, moved the rolling stone away from the tomb, and stole the body of Jesus and reburied it.
Well, that's what the Bible teaches. You find that right there in Matthew, and you find that in Luke. But anyhow, Ronnie, do you want to come on, comment on that?
Yeah, I want to say that that's correct. Well, the point that the gentleman is making, there's a lot of teaching in rabbinic tradition that sounds really good and is highly applauded among the Judaism, but it's not exactly biblical. And the Judaism that we have nowadays, that is in action nowadays in synagogues, is not exactly Judaism from the Torah, from the Bible, from the Tanakh, the original books of the Old Testament. It's rabbinic Judaism, which is a difference. So I agree with that gentleman. We have to be very careful and stay biblical.
Boy, I guess she told you, AC.
Well, I would just want to ask your guest, because in hearing her, I have respect for her.
Yeah.
She probably, I would ask her, has she heard of Kabbalah Judaism?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. And in Kabbalah Judaism, they do not take the scriptures literally. They go by their sages, which is what we would call teachers. And Kabbalah Judaism teaches things like that Moses taught reincarnation. So he's probably heard of that.
Do you think that's possibly the reason, AC, that the Jews have been constantly been judged by God and constantly over the years a stiff-necked people? And do you think that's possibly the reason there's going to be a tribulation period for the purification of that nation of Israel?
Exactly, and I'll tell you why. When you reject the knowledge of Christ, when a person rejects the knowledge of Christ, what does God do? He gives them over to a delusion. And so what these sages have done, they can't tell the people that Jesus resurrected from the dead, so they've mixed Judaism with Hinduism. Where do we hear about reincarnation? From the Hindus.
Alrighty, very good.
Other things.
I got to move on, but thanks for calling. Let's go to Pastor Hal. Pastor Hal, you're in the air.
Yes. You want me to give the invitation?
Not just not yet. Yeah, I want you to do it, but not right now because we have plenty of time yet. We have about 14 minutes, I think. Okay, so anyhow, but hang in there. Hang in there. So when we get up closer, we'll have you'll have you do it. Okay, let's see. Let's go to, we have Clifford. Clifford, you're in the air.
Yeah, I do have a question for you, guest, but I want to make one reference that relates to your clip. The David Knight Show podcast yesterday, now this guy knocks Trump. Trump is not, didn't have the expertise to deal with these sharks. He wouldn't needed to be a lawyer at the level of, say, John Edwards, medical malpractice, or RFK Jr., but he does have good information on yesterday's podcast, the David Knight Show podcast, at an hour and 20 minutes in on how Pfizer coupled with Spadex to target the ovaries of females with these shots. You could go through that. That's David Knight Show podcast, an hour and 20 minutes in, and the CDC is in on it. But my question for your guest is on personal prayer and effective prayer. The book James chapter 5 said Elijah had the effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But suppose you're praying for something persistently and it seems ineffective. How do you approach that? Ask the Lord, what are the reasons why my prayer is ineffective? What would you say to someone, the praying person, about that issue?
Could you hear him, Ronnie?
Yes, I could hear. Okay. So thank you, Cliff. You're a celebrity. We love hearing you on many nights. it's a great question, and I've actually had some personal experience with this in my own life. I've been learning a lot from a number of different pastors and great teachers of old, people like Kenneth Hagin, F.F. Bosworth, Catherine Kuhlman. So just I'm trying to get a wide range of learning. I love to learn. But really, in the scriptures, you're absolutely right. In James, it talks about effective prayer, effectual prayer. I remember Jesus said to the Pharisees, you think you're going to be heard because of your much speaking. Prayer is not a lot of speaking and not a lot of repetition, but really getting into the throne of God, where we have access to go boldly before the throne of grace and to petition him for whatever we want. However, Pastor Sindis, you said it earlier, I believe, during the Bible study. Not just anything, but that which aligns with the Word of God. So I've experienced that in my own life as well, that sometimes we have to fine-tune our prayers to make sure we're really in line. Sometimes we have to check our own lives and see if there's any areas that we need to repent of, that we have maybe some areas of disobedience in our lives. There's a number of different factors that may be hindering our prayers. And, of course, the devil loves to hinder everything, so we need to keep that in mind. But it's not always the devil. So I just love prayer, and thank you. I love your question, and I know there's a lot of different factors, but that's a little piece, little tidbit.
All right, thanks, Cliff. We got to move on. One of the things that people have to realize, first of all,
5:70 a.m.
Okay, one of the things that people have to really realize is that God is not on our clock, okay? And so, you know, he does things in his time. And sometimes the answer is not now. Other times the answer often, if you listen, you see, sometimes silence speaks really loud if you're listening closely. And sometimes that answer is my grace is sufficient, okay, for now. And so, anyhow, we just have to, what does the Bible say? Wait, those that wait upon the Lord, okay? And so sometimes, I've had my prayers answered, but sometimes they've been answered years later, you know, at the right time. And God seems to know what he's doing all the time, doesn't he? And so, very good.
Absolutely.
All right, well, it does look like we're going back up on all the different stations now. Hopefully we'll get on all of them. And hopefully we can we can stay on all of them out there, the ones that are selected. We got about 13 days from tonight, and unless we get a miracle, we're not going to be on all those. But they can still listen to us, those that are on the Internet, You can still listen to us on theWordCleveland.com, theWorldCleveland.com. Or they can go up to our website at WRWL.org, and they can pick us up any place in the world, you know, around the world. And not only that, but we're on a number of other sites, too. I can't remember all of them, but we're on a number of them, okay? iHeartRadio and a bunch of others. So hopefully, you know, God has got no shortage. If it's his will, somebody with deep pockets will step up and to the plate. But folks out there, basically it's just, it's this way. We have done all that we can do. We've really fought hard. I mean, we have really fought hard. We've made a lot of friends on those stations out there in Denver, and those stations in Atlanta and Tampa and Orlando. And so we really want to stay on, but again, it's out of our hands now. It's only up to the people there. Out there in those, and so it's up to you, and we'll see what the good Lord provides, huh? Okay, let's go back to Pastor Hal. Pastor Hal, are you there? Pastor, did you fall asleep again, Hal? Hello, Pastor Hal. What happened to Hal? Okay, I think
Pastor
my board
Matt,
fell asleep too.
Quickly for encouragement while
sure,
we're waiting.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, I'll be quick. For there are many who put not their trust in Jesus as their Savior and Redeemer. Death captivates them with fear while they abide upon the earth. It is that fear of death that consumes them and abuses them in kinship. And when they depart this life, death has its pleasures ruling them, departed from God for all eternity. But for those who put their trust in Jesus, they do not fear death, nor its many devices. While they abide upon the earth, they remain sheltered in the secret place of the Most High God and have no kinship with death. And when their time has come to depart this life, they find rest in the everlasting arms for all eternity, where death, hell, and the grave have no hold upon them. For Jesus of Nazareth in Gethsemane to the cross of Calvary and to hell render them powerless. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And Pastor, we're going to be giving to you another offering next week, and we're going to give you monthly as well. And we're so grateful to you, and I pray that more people will rise up and give. Whatever you can give everybody, do it. Give something, because freely you have received, freely give. Give to Pastor Sanders, to this ministry, one of the only places that's telling the truth. So thank you.
We're needed more than ever right now, aren't we? Thank you very much. Now, let's see if we can get a hold of Pastor Hal. Wake up, Pastor Hal. Wake up. Wake up.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Okay, you're on.
All right. How long do I have?
5.
5 minutes? Okay. Well, listen, you know, everybody needs to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior to go to heaven. The Bible says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And now the Jews were God's chosen people, but even they need to come to Jesus Christ, their Messiah, and receive forgiveness of sins. In John 8:24, Jesus told the Jewish crowd in the temple that if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So even though the Jewish race was God's chosen people and that he chose them to bring us the oracles of God and to do a lot of great works through that nation to show his, you know, his power and his might, they still as individuals need to have their sins washed away. And just like non-Jews, Gentiles, everybody, God loves you, but he hates your sins. God wants you to come to heaven, but he says your sins cannot come with you. And the only thing that can wash away our sins is the blood of Christ. That's why in Ephesians 1:7 it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, if you go to the average church, you've heard all your life that your good works, your church membership, trying to keep the Ten Commandments, this and that, is going to get you to heaven. But you could be the most perfect person that's walking the earth today, and that's not going to wash away one sin. And it only takes one sin to keep you out of heaven. That's how bad God hates sin. So when we're all sinners, and God allowed Jesus Christ to go to the cross and pay the payment for your sins and mine on that cross. See, God says sin had to be paid for because he's a righteous God, but his love entered into it in that he allowed Jesus Christ to pay that payment in our place. Now, when Jesus died on that cross, he said, "It is finished," which means all the work necessary for you and me to get to heaven has been done by Jesus. But that don't become yours automatically. That salvation is something you have to ask for with a repentant heart. Luke 13:3 says, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And that means being sorry about the fact you're a sinner, realizing that without Jesus Christ in our hearts, we're a bunch of dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinners on our road to hell. And right now, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. He hears me talking to you. The Bible says that he's knocking at the door of your heart in Revelation 3:20. And if you open up that door and let him come in, he'll come in and give you the payment he paid in your place on that cross. It's that simple. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast," which means you can't work your way to heaven. You could be the best Baptist, Methodist, or whatever in the world, and you can't work your way to heaven. It's when you come there and say, "God, I can't save myself, but I know Jesus paid the payment for me, and I want him to come into my heart and save me." And Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." To call means to pray. That's you asking God to come into your heart, opening up the door of your heart, and receiving the payment he paid for you on that cross. If you want salvation the way the Bible says to do it, then you can pray a simple prayer right now in simple childlike faith and receive the payment Jesus paid for you on the cross. And as a preacher, I'd be glad to lead you in that prayer. But even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and God. So what do you say we pray right now with Jesus knocking at the door of your heart and offering you that salvation? Dear Lord Jesus, I confess unto you that I'm a sinner. And without you in my heart, I'm lost and on my road to hell. And right now, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins, and save my soul from hell, believing you died on that cross and shed your blood for my salvation. And thank you, Lord, for giving me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, if you just prayed that prayer, 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." And that word "believe on" is not just "believe about." "Believe on" meant that you put your faith in to save you. Why? That you may know, not just think it, wish it, or hope for it, but know. How do you know? Because God made you a promise, and he cannot lie. So according to God's promise and that your prayer, if you just prayed that prayer in sincerity and truth, if you died right now or died 100 years from now, your soul would go to be with Jesus. Not because you ever did anything to earn or deserve it, but because you received the payment Jesus paid in your place on that cross. So he gets all the glory for you going to heaven. Nobody's walking around heaven patting themselves on the back and saying, "I got here because I was this and that." So praise God. Go ahead, Pastor.
All right. Well, you know, I think I agree with everything you just said. Okay. And folks out there, again, that's the most important thing. The time will come. This will happen. There's no chance in the world that it won't. It will. When the only thing that matters to you, the only thing, is you're standing with the Lord. You're either saved or you're going to wish you had been. Until tomorrow, we want to say good night. God bless, and always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.